Light passes over the shadowy shield logo of Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. Light passes over the latticework logo of Legendary Pictures. A gothic castle is silhouetted against a full moon. Dark Castle Entertainment. Geometric shapes form an exploded square on a black background, then fade away. A caption in Japanese script morphs into English. Osaka Machii Yakuza Club. A tattooist using the traditional tabori technique jabs a needle soaked in red ink repeatedly into a man's back to add color to a traditional design featuring a man and a dragon. The young Japanese man being tattooed, Hollywood, winces in pain. Nearby, a waiter brings another man a drink. Hollywood swigs from a bottle, and the tattooist resumes his work.
Now, what the fuck? You're doing it wrong.
He's doing what the needle does.
The fuck is that supposed to mean?
Irizumi does not hide the skin. The tattoo reveals the nature of the man and illuminates the four noble professions and the Book of Five Rings. The warrior, the artist, the merchant, and the farmer. If there is a conflict between the needle and the skin, between the mark and a man, then perhaps the path you've chosen is not the path for which you're suited.
What did you just say, old man? Huh? I know you didn't just disrespect me, did you? You that fucking stupid? You disrespect me and I'll tattoo the ceiling with your fucking brains!
He holds a gun to the tattooist.
No disrespect.
You're lucky. Can't kill you until you finish this thing. Give me that mirror. Let's see how it's looking. Not bad, not bad.
Hey, boss. This just came for you.
What is it?
A letter.
So open it, dumbass.
The other guy breaks a wax seal and pours powder from the envelope.
What? What is it?
It looks like sand. Yep. Sand. Black sand.
No.
The tattooist drops his needle.
You know what this is? Hey, you want to let us in on the joke?
Years ago, I watched a man open an envelope like that one. There were many with him. And they laughed as you laugh now. But then it came from the shadows. And their laughter was drowned in blood.
What came out of the shadows?
I cannot say the word.
What word?
That night, one of their blades struck here. I should have died but for an accident of birth. My heart is here, on the other side.
They look at one of his tattoos.
The fuck is that?
Looks like a ninja, boss.
A ninja? Are you kidding me? That's the word you're afraid to say? Ninja? Ninja, ninja, ninja. Dear you, oh fuck. Yeah, you had me going. Ninja. That's some good shit.
The tattooist, who also has a big scar on his chest, closes up his tunic. Suddenly, Hollywood's henchman's head is sliced off. Gore splatters Hollywood's face as the body topples over. The cranium splats onto the floor nearby. The lights are knocked out. The gangsters grab their guns.
What's up with me?
Someone moves rapidly through the shadows. One of the mobsters is hoisted up by a rope. Gore and body parts shower down onto the floor. Hollywood and the other mobsters open fire, wildly shooting into the darkness. A man holding a shotgun is chopped diagonally in half. A blade scythes a man's legs off, and he drops onto the floor on his stumps. Shuriken throwing stars rip into another man's chest, killing him. A barrage of throwing stars fly out of the shadows, cutting down two more of the gunmen. Hollywood blasts wildly away with a pair of Desert Eagle pistols. Arms shaking, he looks fearfully around at the carnage.
Look! You don't have to do this! Whatever they're paying you, I'll double it. I'll triple it. You hear me? I'll pay you whatever you want.
You cannot bargain with it. You cannot reason with it because it is not a human being. It is a demon sent straight from hell.
You shut your face, old man!
Hollywood's hands are chopped off by a throwing star. He looks shocked for a second until he's decapitated. The tattooist removes his blood-spattered specs and looks around. A black-clad ninja rises up from the shadows. Clutching a blood-stained ninjutsu sword, he walks towards the tattooist.
For 57 years I've told your story. No one ever believed me. But you are real, aren't you?
The ninja raises a sword and strikes. A gout of blood splats across the screen, forming the title Ninja Assassin. Berlin Europol headquarters. In an office, a 40-ish white man, Ryan, sits looking through paperwork. A 30-something black woman, Mika, walks in with an armful of files.
Is all that for the Delgado case?
One file.
This is Delgado.
And the rest?
Evidence.
Four?
No, not again, Mika, please.
What is the problem? You've trusted my research before.
All right, here's a question for you. Which of these words does not belong in this sentence? Laptop, space shuttle, nanotechnology... Ninja.
All I'm asking for is an hour. That's all.
Why do I think I'm going to regret this?
You remember the Illumi incident?
Korean queen, late 1800s, killed by one of these ninja clans.
Ozuno, I think. Now, I've been going through the original transcripts of the trial of Kunitomo Shigeaki. The prosecutor questioned Shigeaki about a payment of 100 pounds of gold. Shigeaki answered that he didn't know what the prosecutor was talking about, and the question was never brought up again. But what pinked for me was the amount. The exact same amount rumored to have been paid to the Ozuno clan for the Yakuza massacre that happened last week in Osaka.
So, you start to wonder in this ever-changing world if the cost of a man's life remains the same.
Exactly. I mean, I figure these clans are like, what, 1,000 years old? They probably don't change a lot. So I started looking at international wire transfers, targeting banks in the regions of several high-profile assassinations. And bingo, Russian Prime Minister Zhukov. The day before the assassination, $1,555,999.90 was transferred from the Bank of Shanghai. That is the exact market equivalent of 100 pounds of gold.
Ryan considers...
Okay, you got me. This is interesting.
The clans are real, Ryan. They steal children and turn them into assassins.
Yeah, look, Mika, no one's denying the historical facts, but this whole thing, it just doesn't make sense in the modern world.
They're real. I mean, you can call them spooks or assassins or whatever you want if it makes you feel better, but they are out there, and they are killing people. And nobody's doing a damn thing to stop them.
A young Japanese man, Raizo, puts a token in a washing machine in a laundrette. A woman turns to him.
Hi, excuse me. Would you mind? If it's not too much trouble, could you help me with this?
She holds up a white bedsheet from one of the dryers. Raizo walks over and starts folding it with her. She smiles at him, but he doesn't make eye contact.
What clan are you from?
She looks surprised.
What are you doing in Berlin?
I don't understand.
He looks directly at her for the first time. She throws the sheet up and lashes out with a knife. Raizo dodges the blade and retaliates with a sheet and a curved-bladed knife. They slash, dodge, and parry each other's attacks. In another room, the laundrette proprietor dozes in front of a chop socky film on the TV. Hearing the ruckus, he goes to investigate.
What is going on?
He notices one of the washing machines rocking violently. Closer inspection reveals a dismembered body bumping about in it. Blood oozes out of the drum and down the front of the machine. Tomato sauce is squirted onto a sausage Ryan is eating.
So you said you found something?
Yeah. I was digging around trying to see what I could come up with, and I found this. A report. A friend of mine in Moscow tipped me to it. It was written during the height of the Cold War by a high-ranking KGB agent named Alexei Sabatin. In it, he raises the possibility that a number of political assassinations were conducted by an ancient but very sophisticated network he calls the Nine Clans. Mind you, he doesn't call them ninjas.
What happened to him?
Same thing that's going to happen to me if I hang around with you. Kicked out of the service for mental instability.
You believe it now, don't you?
Ninjas. You've got to be joking.
Well, then why are you doing all this?
I don't know. But I can guarantee you it has nothing to do with the fact that you're the most attractive researcher I have ever worked with.
She smiles bashfully. Wearing dark glasses, Rizzo walks up a gloomy stairwell. A cleaning woman with a mop and bucket calls down to him.
Oh, Mr. Man, good you're back. We had a heating problem and I had to go into your apartment.
Is it all right?
It's all fixed. You keep it very dark and spare in there. And forgive me, but I couldn't help noticing your suitcases.
Rizzo looks down.
I told you, my father was a very sick man.
Do you have to leave Berlin soon?
Not yet, but I am expecting a phone call.
I'm sorry to hear that.
One day, death will come for us all.
In his apartment, he checks his arsenal. Two ninjato swords hidden in the skirting board, throwing stars hidden in a drawer, and a kusari tanto, a knife on a chain.
Sha! Retsu! Zen! Wherever you are, wherever you may go.
A flashback of Lord Azuno addressing child ninjas.
You must never forget who you are, how you came to be. You are Ozuno. You are part of me, as I am part of you. This is the truth of your lives. And it will remain true after death. This is my new son. I have given him the name Rizzo. Welcome him as your brother.
Welcome, Rizzo.
All the children except one young girl bow courteously to young Rizzo. In the present, Rizzo boils a kettle and adds hot water to a bowl of noodles. He stirs the noodles with chopsticks.
The body must obey the will. Hunger and thirst, even the blood in your veins, are the body's weakness.
As the children sit at a long dinner table, Lord Azuno draws a knife and cuts his palm with it.
Master then, and you master the self. Rinpyo tosho kaijin retsudai zen.
He magically heals the cut.
This is the power of the Ozunu clan. This is the way of the ninja. Eat tonight, and you walk twice as hard tomorrow.
Lord Azuno goes. The children sit staring at the bowls of noodles for a few moments. Tentatively, they pick the bowls up and begin to eat. Young Rizzo remains motionless, leaving his noodles untouched. The children are in a courtyard. One of the boys lies prone on the cobbles, a shinny, bamboo sword beside him. Young Rizzo, whose torso is heavily scarred, stands over him, also holding a shinny.
What is the lesson? Look at your brother. Life is combat. You know this truth. Abandoned by your parents. Without a home. Without people to care for you. You should have died. But instead, you fought. As you did here today, you fought. And you won. In combat, you faced the enemy without doubt, without pity or remorse. To survive, you must learn to fear nothing at all.
In his apartment, Rizzo places his hands on a bed of nails. Moving seamlessly through a Russian lever position, he hoists himself effortlessly up into a handstand position and proceeds to perform a series of slow, controlled handstand press-ups on the bed of nails. His naked and heavily scarred torso glistens with sweat.
Pain breeds weakness.
As a boy, Rizzo walks along a sprung wooden floor.
Remember, suffering exists only because weakness exists.
He takes careful, measured steps, but the floor sags under his weight. Lord Azuno steps forward.
You must hate all weakness, hate it in others, but most of all, hate it in yourself.
He makes Rizzo raise his right foot and whacks his sole. Now his left. Nodazunu watches Rizzo walk on across the sprung floor. Only now, he leaves behind bloody footprints. That night, Rizzo lies awake in bed in his dormitory. He grimaces in pain. His feet stick out from under the covers and the soles are raw and bloodied. The young girl appears at the foot of his bed and raises her finger to her lips to silence him. She crouches down and applies some ointment to his wounds. He flinches as she does so. Once she's finished, the girl gets up and walks back to her own bed on the other side of the dormitory. Rizzo watches as she gets in and settles down to sleep. His pain eased, Rizzo lies back. As an adult, he lies on a single bed. The soles of his feet are badly scarred. He holds a gold watch with a cracked face. A middle-aged woman.
Mrs. Sabaton?
Yeah.
I'm Mika Coretti with Europol. We spoke on the phone?
Mrs. Sabaton toys with her wedding ring.
You said you read my husband's report, yes?
Yes. I understand the report caused some problems for him within the KGB.
The report caused problems for Alexei's career, the way Moses caused problems for the Pharaoh. Very unpleasant.
What happened?
About 2 years ago, after the assassination of Zhukov, the report drew attention. After that, everything was different. Alexei hired men to change all the locks and put in more of them. Locks on the windows, locks on the doors, locks on the locks. He put in cameras and motion sensors and lights. Everywhere lights. There can be no shadows, he said. No shadows. Then one day a man came to the door. They talked in Alexei's study for some time and then the young man left. My husband was a soldier, member of Russian intelligence. He was not a man to frighten easily. But when I came to the door, in his eyes I saw fear. And then he stood up. He kissed me and told me that he loved me very much. He said, I should always remember that.
Do you know what they talked about?
No. He said it was safer that way.
Can I ask how he died?
The lights went out.
Sabaton holds a pistol and shields his eyes from the lights. Suddenly, they go out.
You are the first person who has taken my husband's work seriously. It would be good to know that he did not die without a cause.
Mrs. Sabaton takes a metal strongbox out of a cupboard and puts it on the table.
He would want you to have this.
In her office, Mika unlocks the strongbox and takes out some photographs of a broken stone tablet. She puts them aside and takes out a copy of an old Japanese drawing. It features a man holding a sword, ready to strike a child tied to a stake. She takes a parchment scroll from the box and unrolls it. It appears to be of an old map. Next, she takes a VHS tape from the box and removes the tape from its white cardboard sleeve. She sits down and watches the tape. The screen is split into quarters, each showing footage from a different security camera. Two of them show different views of two men fighting. In the bottom right quarter, one of the men's faces becomes visible. Mika freezes the image and stares at the young Japanese man.
Who are you?
It's Raizo. Stripped to the waist, Raizo stands in his apartment and performs a series of kata, or specific routines, with each of his ninja weapons. He practices with his Kusari Tanto, performing a series of moves, spinning the knife on the end of its chain. He uses his ninjato sword, putting the blades through a series of slashing and stabbing moves. He spins the Kusari Tanto at speed around his head, his muscles flexing as he does so. He lands a final spinning downward blow with one of the swords. A flaming torch. The torch is one of many illuminating a duel. He and another student, Takeshi, both older, are fighting. They use bokken, wooden practice swords. Lord Izunu and the other students look on as they fight, avoiding the torches. Takeshi kicks Raizo back. Raizo springs to his feet, and they fight on. Raizo kicks Takeshi's feet out from under him. As he gets up, Raizo lands a heavy blow on Takeshi's chest. He waits for Takeshi to get to his feet. As he does so, Takeshi whacks one of the flaming torches into Raizo's face, then knocks him down with a couple of well-aimed blows. Lord Izunu steps forward. Amongst those watching is the girl who tended to Raizo's feet.
Did Takeshi's blow hurt you? You think this is pain? You are mistaken.
Lord Izunu pulls Raizo up, then punches him in the stomach and digs his fingers in deep. Raizo collapses, writhing in agony on the floor.
That is true pain. Here is your test, Raizo. Survive the night.
Lord Izunu goes, and the other students follow him out. The girl, Kiriko, eyes Raizo sympathetically, but unable to help, follows the others out. Raizo remains doubled up on the floor. It's dark outside, and the moon shines down from a cloudy sky. Raizo remains where he fell, grimacing but concentrating hard. The next morning, in the grey light of dawn, Lord Izunu walks across the courtyard of the Mountain Dojo to the building where the duel had been fought. He slides open the doors and finds Raizo sitting cross-legged on the floor, apparently none the worse for his ordeal.
Very good, Raizo. Very good.
At her desk, Mika looks at newspaper articles on her computer. Prime Minister Zhukov assassinated. Alexei Sabatin, KGB spy, investigated.
Oh, you're like a dog with a bone on that computer, aren't you?
Excuse me?
Agent Zabransky, Internal Affairs. Need to ask you a couple of questions. You're Mika Kureti, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Forensic researcher. Work a lot with Agent Muslow, that right?
A few cases, yeah.
You have something of a social relationship.
Excuse me?
Oh, you had lunch with him on the 13th, and again on the 18th.
How do you know that?
Isn't it true?
I'm not sure. I mean, we do have lunch together sometimes, but that's usually when we're working.
Has Agent Muslow seemed different to you lately in any way? And has he said or done anything that struck you as unusual?
No. Why? Has Agent Muslow done something?
Just routine. The agency cares about its field operatives. We monitor for signs of stress, fatigue, mental exhaustion. Agent Muslow has a serious caseload. That much work can wear on a man, huh?
Zabransky gives her a look, then goes. Later, with Ryan...
Zabransky came to my office.
Yeah, I got a surprise visit, too.
He made it real clear, Ryan. They're watching us.
Now, I don't get the full picture quite yet, but I know a warning when I see one.
And why?
Why? It's obvious. If this little fantasy of yours has any chance of being real, then these clans are going to have some pretty major juice protecting them.
So what are you going to do?
We are going to tiptoe very carefully from here on in. You understand? You do nothing without checking with me first. Got it?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
They're photographed by someone as they sit talking on a park bench. That evening, Mika returns to her apartment. She cautiously opens the front door, then systematically turns all the lights on. She settles down on an armchair with the paperwork from Sabaton's strongbox.
A 14th century scroll refers to one of the oldest of the nine clans as the Clan of Black Sand. The Islamic explorer Ibn Battuta journeyed with a group of orphans that were being taken to a remote Shido, hidden among snow-capped mountains. Battuta describes a ceremonial dinner followed by a display of martial skill. The combatants were children, neither beyond the age of 10. His hosts explain that a man's life must be made meaningless compared to the life of the clan. Own the meaning of a man's life, and you own his heart.
One of the child combatants remorselessly pummels his opponent with his bloody fist. Rizzo walks along a busy street. He stops at the curb and looks at a piece of board lying in the road. Cars pass over it, making it clunk rhythmically under their wheels. A flashback to his youth with the Azunu clan. In a garden, he eyes Kiriko, who cuts a wire restraining the branch of a bonsai tree. With a wary glance over his shoulder, Rizzo walks over to her.
You shouldn't do that. It's against the rules. If they catch you...
Then they catch me.
They'll put you in the box.
I believe the heart of the tree knows which way it needs to grow.
Trees don't have hearts.
Everything has a heart.
I don't.
Really? Let me see.
She presses her ear to his chest.
Hello?
She smiles as she listens.
It's saying hello back, and that it's happy to meet me. But it misses you.
Liar.
I'm not lying. Listen to mine.
Rizzo glances over her shoulder at some other students performing a kata in a courtyard nearby. Content no one is watching them, he presses his ear to Kiriko's chest. A faint smile creeps across his lips. In his apartment, Rizzo sharpens one of the edges of a shuriken or throwing star on a whetstone. He checks the edge with his thumb. Now wearing a blindfold, Rizzo stands in the middle of his apartment. He suddenly fans out several shuriken in his hands and throws them at wooden beams positioned around the apartment. The stars embed themselves in the beams. Rizzo flexes his shoulders.
For an entire year, you shall live without one of your senses, beginning with the sense you rely on the most.
Blindfolded, Rizzo, armed with his Kusari Tanto, a knife on a long chain, duels with Takeshi, who is not blindfolded, and is armed with a ninjato sword. Watched by Lord Azunu and the fellow students, Rizzo successfully blocks and parries Takeshi's attacks, until Takeshi floors him with a blow from his sword's grip. Kiriko watches Rizzo get to his feet again.
You must see with more than your eyes.
Takeshi backs away from Rizzo, twirling his sword. Rizzo stands motionless, listening to the spinning blade. Takeshi extends a second blade from the grip of his sword. Lord Azunu looks over at him and nods. Takeshi charges at Rizzo, who dodges out of the way, then blocks his opponent's attacks with the chain of his weapon. He kicks Takeshi, knocking him back onto the floor. Takeshi springs back onto his feet, and as he runs forward, Rizzo lassoes his leg with the chain of the Kusari Tanto and yanks hard on it, sending his opponent spinning through the air. Takeshi lands heavily on the floor. Still blindfolded, Rizzo bows to Lord Azunu, who returns the compliment. Kiriko smiles. Night. Still wearing a blindfold, Rizzo lies in bed in the dormitory. He lies on his back and shifts restlessly under the covers. Across the room, Kiriko lifts her head off her pillow and looks over at Raizo. She rolls onto her back, adopting the same position as Raizo. The heartbeats slowly synchronize until they beat as one. During training, Kiriko throws a young boy with a bokken, a wooden sword.
Cut him, Kiriko. All failure must be sown into the flesh. Cut him.
Lord Azunu holds out a razor-sharp-bladed shiv. Kiriko takes it. She looks down at the prone boy, and unable to cut him, drops the shiv on the floor. Lord Azunu regards her sternly.
You know the law.
He bends down and picks up the shiv. Other students, including Raizo, watch as Lord Azunu slashes Kiriko's face with the shiv. She takes her hand from her face, revealing a huge gash across her left cheek. That night, Raizo sneaks out of his dormitory and stealthily tiptoes across the yard to a tall, narrow bamboo cage where Kiriko is being held. She stands with her eyes closed. Raizo opens a small bamboo file and dips a straw into it. He pokes the straw in through the bamboo bars of the cage and squirts a drop of fluid between Kiriko's parched lips into her mouth. She sucks on the straw. He lowers the straw and looks at her.
I told you. I tried to warn you.
Yes. You did.
Why, Kiriko? Why?
She opens her eyes.
Why am I in here? Or why are you out there?
They stare at each other through the bars. Kiriko, Raizo, and other students sit in a courtyard sharpening weapons. The cut on Kiriko's face is healing well. Raizo looks up at her as she works. Night. A storm rages. Raizo sits up in bed and looks across the dormitory at Kiriko. She sits up, then disappears. Alarmed, Raizo jumps out of bed. He runs outside and chases after Kiriko as she runs through the rain. They race beyond the courtyard and go over to a wall.
Kiriko!
She stops.
Why are you doing this?
I have to.
You know the law. He will cut your heart from your chest.
No. He can never touch my heart.
She takes his hand in hers and presses it against her chest. She leans forward and kisses him on the lips. The lightning illuminates the moment.
Come with me.
Where? What is out there?
Life.
She smiles. Raizo regards her fearfully.
My life is here.
She bows formally to him. He watches as she takes a pair of Shuko climbing claws from her jacket and slips them on over her hands. She turns to the wall and begins to climb it, using the claws to give her purchase. Rizzo smiles ruefully as she scales the wall. She reaches the top and disappears. Rizzo looks down sadly. In his apartment, Rizzo answers his phone. He slowly lowers the receiver from his ear. Rizzo walks along a busy street. He stops and looks at a photo of Mika. He turns it over. Her name and address are on the back. As Mika goes to a car in an underground car park, Ryan grabs her.
Shh! Fuck you, Christ, Ryan.
I'm sorry I couldn't talk earlier, Mika. They're watching me. Get in.
She gets into the driver's seat. Ryan walks around the vehicle and gets in the passenger side.
Ryan, where have you been? I've been calling your office all day.
No, I know. Our cyber team must have fell.
What's happened?
Right now, I've got internal affairs, homeland security, the CIA, and for all I know, the fucking Martian military in my office tearing the place apart.
What are we going to do?
You are going to go home, pack your bags, go on holiday.
No way.
Now, don't argue with me, Mika. I trusted you. Now you've got to trust me.
No, I'm sorry. I can't let you lose your job because of me, Ryan.
I'm not talking about losing my job. Take this. It's clean, untraceable, no signal number.
Ryan?
Yeah, I know. I've investigated World Bank organizations, drug cartels, arms dealers. I've never faced this kind of heat. For ninjas, it's fucking unbelievable.
He leaves her the gun and goes.
Excuse me.
On a dark street.
Hey.
Hey.
So, what's going on?
Power's out. Us, the building behind us, and that one across the street. It seems like every few months, boom, the light's out.
Mika nods.
Okay. Thanks.
Inside her darkened apartment block, Mika slowly makes her way up the stairs, torch in hand. She opens the door to her apartment and steps inside. She closes the door behind her. Noticing a window is open, she looks around anxiously. She gets a red suitcase and puts it down on a table. She takes another bag off her shoulder. She fetches a pair of jeans, and as she takes them over to the table, she notices a letter sealed with wax lying on top of her red suitcase. She puts her gun down and picks up the letter with a shaking hand. She opens the letter and tips out some black sand. A sword swings toward her face, but it's blocked by a kusari chain. Her torch picks out a black-clad ninja holding the chain. He and the other sword-wielding ninja fight. As they do so, Mika grabs up her gun and shoots. Mika is knocked off her feet by one of the ninjas. As she falls, she drops her gun. Mika tries to keep the ninjas in her torch beam. They cartwheel and flip as they attack and parry with their weapons. One of the ninjas is knocked back by the other. Mika makes to get her gun, but the kusari chain rips a strip out of the floorboards beside the weapon and she retreats. One ninja wraps the kusari chain around the other's neck and flings him into a desk. The sword-wielding ninja rallies, but the kusari ninja swings his chain and embeds the knife from the end of it in his opponent's skull. The fight ends. The victorious ninja yanks the blade free from his opponent's cranium. Mika snatches up her torch and looks around the dark flat.
More will come.
What?
They won't stop until you're dead.
Oh, God.
She grabs the gun.
A gun won't help you.
Well, I don't have a lot of options, okay? I mean, I once took a Taibo class, but that is the extent of my kung fu abilities, all right?
I can help you, but you have to trust me.
Mika stares around the dark apartment, trying to see who's talking to her.
Okay.
A dark figure wearing a black balaclava steps out of the shadows. Mika shines a torch on the man who pulls off his balaclava. It's Ryzo.
Do you know me?
She nods.
How?
Security camera in New York recorded you fighting one of them.
You know about them?
A little. Well, there are these clans. And apparently they've been supplying assassins to governments or anyone who has 100 pounds of gold for the last 1,000 years.
His name was G.
The dead ninja.
But you knew him?
He was not born an assassin.
You're from his clan. Then why did you stop him?
They're coming.
Who?
Shadowy forms move quickly through the darkness outside. The dark shapes of several ninjas enter Mika's apartment. They move stealthily through the gloom. They come across the body of the dead ninja.
Run, little brother. Run.
Ninjas pursue Kiriko.
Weakness compels strength. Betrayal begets blood. This is the law of the Nine Clans.
Ryzo wakes in the dormitory. Ryzo pokes his head out of the dormitory door and sees Kiriko being hustled along by two black-clad ninjas. They are followed by Lord Azunu. Ryzo ducks back into the dormitory to avoid being seen. Next day, Kiriko is tied to a stake in the courtyard. Her feet are bloody and her head is bound.
We have been betrayed. A child of mine, my daughter, betrayed us. She refused my gifts, rejected our clan. Her shame can only be purged with blood. You.
Lord Azunu holds a sword out to one of the other students.
You. My son, who returned home, shall have dishonor.
Takeshi bows and takes the katana sword. He glances over at Ryzo, who stands with the other students. Ryzo watches as Takeshi walks over to Kiriko and places the tip of the blade against her chest with a flourish. Kiriko looks over at Ryzo, who gazes at her intently. Takeshi locks eyes with Ryzo and plunges the blade into Kiriko's heart. Kiriko's head lolls forward. Ryzo looks down, struggling to suppress any display of emotion. In the present, Ryzo sits in the passenger seat of Mika's car as she drives.
Where are we going?
Doesn't matter.
You think they're following us?
I know they're following us.
I don't see anything back there.
They have our scent.
Following our scent? Like dogs?
No, like wolves.
They drive through an underpass.
My name's Mika, by the way.
He glances at her.
Ryzo. It's the name I was given.
So you're an orphan?
He nods.
If it's okay with you, I'm gonna try and fill in some of the blanks here. So, you must have been taken by the Azunu clan. Trained to be an assassin, but something happened, and you decided to opt out of the program. Now, I don't imagine that went over so well. And since they're after me for just peeking through the keyhole, they must be after you in, like, a major way. But you're also after them, which is why you're in Berlin, because Sabaton is one of the few people pursuing the clans, which is why they took him out. But here's a question I can't answer. Why did you save me?
Ryzo looks down thoughtfully. A flashback to his younger self sitting in the back of a stretched limo with Lord Azunu. Outside, it's dark and raining hard.
Your entire life has brought you to this moment. Do not fail yourself. Do not fail your family. He's wearing a gold watch. Bring it to me.
Ryzo nods and steps out of the car. The gold watch is on the wrist of a heavily built white man who's smoking a cigar and taking a pee in a urinal. The face of the watch is as yet unbroken. Kreiser dries his hands under a hand dryer nearby. As the man goes to the basin, Reiser pulls a shiv blade out of his sleeve. The man puts a cigar in an ashtray and starts to wash his hands. Reiser steps up behind him and stabs the shiv into the man's neck. The man spins round and punches Reiser, knocking him to the floor.
That kind of tickled.
Blood pouring from the wound, the man pulls Reiser up. Reiser stabs him a couple more times until the man grabs his wrist.
It's going to take more than a knitting needle to follow here, boy!
The man hurls Reiser into the urinal. As he makes to grab him again, Reiser stabs the shiv into the man's leg. The man yanks Reiser up and headbutts him, then punches him twice in the face. Reiser stabs the shiv through the man's right bicep. The man punches him with his left and hurls Reiser aside. He looks at the shiv embedded in his arm, then pulls it free. He looks at Reiser, whose face and white jacket are covered in the man's blood. Reiser launches himself at the man, kicking and punching him. The man staggers as the blood loss affects him. Reiser presses home his advantage by repeatedly slamming the man's shaven head into one of the urinals. Reiser screams, his face a blood-stained mask of fury, with wild, staring eyes. Later, Reiser in a blood-soaked tunic sits in the pouring rain on top of a tower block. He holds the man's gold watch, the face of which is now cracked. He looks up as the dark, shadowy shapes of other ninjas gather behind him. Reiser gets up and goes over to Lord Azunu, who stands under an umbrella. Reiser bows his head and holds out the gold watch.
Keep it. It will remind you that every moment of your life is a gift I have given you.
Reiser looks at the bloodstained watch.
You have made me proud, my son. Now the time has come for you to prove you are true Ozunu.
A hooded prisoner is brought forward. The prisoner is made to kneel and the hood is removed. It's a young girl.
She tried to run from us. From our family.
Bound and gagged, she looks imploringly at Reiser.
Takeshi caught her and returned her to us. Weakness compelled strength. Betrayal begets blood.
Lord Azunu draws a katana sword and presents it to Reiser with a flourish.
This is the law of the Nine Clans.
Reiser looks at the girl who regards him fearfully. He looks back at Lord Azunu. Reiser lets the Kasari Tanto drop down from his right hand, then swings it at Lord Azunu. The Tanto's blade rakes across Lord Azunu's face, carving a deep gash across his left cheek, the bridge of his nose, and above his right eye.
Come here!
The other ninjas spring into action and attack Reiser. He swings the Kasari Tanto, lopping off someone's arm. The whirling blade on the end of its chain slashes a couple more ninjas, sending gouts of blood into the air. One of the ninjas slashes a sword across Reiser's back. Reiser retaliates, but another ninja manages to slash him across the chest. He falls back onto the floor, a shuriken stuck in his torso. The other ninjas wait, as grimacing in pain, Reiser gets back on his feet. Before he can swing the Kasari Tanto again, they pelt him with shuriken throwing stars. Reiser staggers backwards and falls off the rooftop. He plummets like a stone 50 stories into the river below. A crimson cloud of blood trails from him as he sinks. Back in the car, Mika looks over at Reiser as she drives.
You need protection.
No. I want Ozuno, and I need you have to get him.
He looks at the road ahead.
Exit here.
She turns right up a slip road. They pull up in a car park outside a shopping plaza.
You are a size 36?
What? No, size 34.
She looks put out. He opens the car door and looks around.
If you leave while I'm gone, they'll hunt you and kill you.
Do you understand?
She nods. Satisfied, he gets out of the car. Later, they drive to a motel. In their room, Rizzo draws the curtains, then goes into the bathroom and turns the shower on. He comes back out again.
Get undressed. Shower, but not use soap. Do you smoke?
She shakes her head.
Put your clothes in here.
Mika steps out of the bathroom. Her hair is wet.
These jeans are a little tight.
You say 34.
Yeah, well, it's German sizes. You must run a little small, I guess.
Rizzo waves a cigarette around Mika's head.
This is for a scent, right?
Let's go.
In Ryan's office, the phone rings.
Yeah?
Ryan, it's me.
Mika, for Christ's sake, I've been calling you for hours.
I know, I'm in a bit of trouble.
Trouble? Listen, you miss jury service, you're in trouble. You're in the deepest shit you've ever been in.
Yeah, well, at least I'm not down here by myself.
Sabatis guy? The one from the tape, is he with you?
He's on our side, Ryan. He wants Ozunu, but he needs the agency's help.
Be careful, Mika.
I trust him.
All right, look. I can't make any promises, but if he cooperates, I'll do what I can.
Can you meet us?
Where?
How about the usual?
Later, Mika and Rizzo walk beside a part of the Berlin Wall.
There he is.
Ryan stands smoking a cigarette.
That's all right. He's a good guy.
They walk over to him.
Mika, are you okay?
Yeah, thanks to him.
Why have you done this?
Done what?
People will die.
No! Floodlights come on. Ryan pulls Mika aside as armed men run towards them. They shoot Rizzo with tasers and use an animal control pole to subdue him. Once Rizzo is handcuffed, the men remove the tasers and drag him away.
What the fuck are you doing?
Following orders.
Europol agents watch Rizzo on a monitor.
The prisoner is secure, sir.
Right.
Sure doesn't look like a killing machine to me, sir. Looks like he belongs in a boy band.
Rizzo looks up.
He couldn't have heard that. Could he?
Sir?
Ryan, this is wrong. I mean, it can't be legal.
What is this place? Your own private Guantanamo?
It's an old GDR safe house. Jameson wants this off the grid.
You're making a huge mistake.
I don't think so. I got reports from London, Washington, and Osaka, all tagging your boy. The only problem we have is where to extradite him first.
Well, so 2 weeks ago, there's no such thing as ninja, and now every city in the world has a warrant for one? He is not the enemy.
He's a killer, Mika. When you're the one telling me it was our job to stop him.
You're not even listening to me.
Because you're not saying anything worth hearing. Look, you want to do the insubordination tango? Let's go, but not in front of the children, okay?
She follows him out of the operations room.
Boys, get up. Come on, let's go, rouse!
They go into an adjoining room.
Damn it, Ryan, I am just trying to...
Shut up and listen to me, please, we don't have much time. No, I don't know what we stumbled into here, but somebody's pulling some major strings inside.
They want him dead. He's been fighting them for years.
I believe you. I've been in this business too long not to smell a setup, but we have to be very careful how we handle this, and I cannot risk you going AWOL on me again. Now, if you get into trouble, you switch this on, and no matter where you are, I'll find you.
He hands her a small tracking device. Rizzo is being held in a large, dismal cell illuminated by floodlights. His hands, feet and neck are all tethered together by straps, which are in turn fastened to anchor points on the wall. Mika comes in to see him.
Hey.
He looks up at her.
You look thirsty.
She holds up a plastic bottle of water. Rizzo eyes it, then her, coolly. Mika glances over her shoulder at a guard, then steps up to Rizzo and holds the bottle to his parched lips. He grimaces slightly as he finishes drinking.
I'm sorry, I didn't know about any of this.
I know.
You do?
The only time you lied to me was when you told me your size.
She looks down.
How did you know that?
Your heart. It is special.
She looks a bit surprised, then leans in close to him.
Maslow's on your side. He's going to try to help you.
It's too late.
She runs back into the control room.
No one else here.
Wait, wait, can I talk to you?
We have to do this again, Coretti?
I have reason to believe that a group of ninja may be on their way here.
Well, I think these gentlemen can handle a few whack jobs wearing pajamas, am I right? You see?
Yeah, but the situation we discussed.
Yeah, I'm working on that. You have to give me some time.
We don't have time.
Well, they're not here now, are they?
They'll be here soon.
How soon?
The lights go out.
Where's it?
Mika! You're with us. Secure the prisoner.
Mika hurries downstairs. A squad of heavily armed Europol agents makes its way through the darkened base. They pick their way through the gloom, using flashlights attached to their guns. As they approach a door, it slides open, and Mika steps through it.
Hold fire! Hold fire! Good way to get yourself killed, Corinne.
I need that cell open. We're moving the prisoner.
Those are not my orders.
Mika! Get out of here!
Now without you!
And they all die together.
The agents move on through the darkened base. They pass under a shaft. Lining the sides of the shaft is a group of black-clad ninjas. The ninjas draw their swords. One of the agents looks up and spots.
Scheiße!
The ninjas jump down and attack. The agents fire wildly in the dark as the ninjas hack them to pieces with their swords and pelt them with shuriken throwing stars. Thick gouts of blood fountain from the agents' wounds. Mika is with agents outside Rizzo's cell.
Open that gate!
I can't do that!
Go to infrared, boys.
They're already in the room.
One of the agents is hoisted into the air by a Kasari chain and disemboweled. Another is pelted with shuriken stars, which tear into his flesh. Others are hacked by the almost invisible ninjas. Thick fountains of gore erupt from their wounds. Mika runs over to one of the fallen agents and takes the keys to Rizzo's cell from him. Her shuriken stars whiz over her head. Mika hurries along a corridor and lets herself into Rizzo's cell. He smiles when he sees her.
Oh, Mika, Mika.
She's brought a Kasari Tanto.
I like him one more.
She starts to unlock the chains around his ankle. She fumbles around by torchlight and struggles with the locks.
Mika, hurry.
A shadowy figure enters the room.
Mika, I don't want to sound critical.
Look, I'm doing the best I can here.
The ninja gets closer.
We don't have much time.
Rizzo gets his hands free and grabs the ninja. He breaks his skull against the wall.
Let's go.
Armed with a Kasari Tanto, Rizzo leads the way out of the cell. Mika's torch picks out the aftermath of the carnage in the corridor outside. Dead agents litter the floor. Pools of blood and severed body parts lie strewn across their path. They pick their way through them. Rizzo pulls them up to a halt.
Wait here.
Mika looks at him in surprise. He disappears into the gloom up ahead, and Mika looks around fearfully. Hearing a noise, she wheels around. Her torch beam glides around the darkened corridor. Rizzo attacks the ninja standing beside her. Rizzo pushes the ninja against a wall and stabs him to death with the Tanto blade. Blood stains the wall.
Let's go.
Elsewhere in the base, Ryan and other agents are fighting it out with the ninjas. Ryan blasts away at them with a pistol.
Dagger down!
Ryan shoots a ninja. Then, ducking a shuriken star, he makes it over to a crate and hunkers down. He loads a fresh clip into his pistol. Rizzo leads Mika through a doorway. They emerge into a large, gloomy room full of machinery. They stop and look around warily.
The car's upstairs. Go. Go now.
Okay.
Mika scurries away up a staircase. Rizzo continues to look around the room. Dark figures move stealthily through the shadows. Baizo stands on guard with a Kasari Tantan. Takeshi appears nearby.
Little brother.
The ninjas attack, and Baizo responds with a Kasari Tantan. He spins the knife and the end of its long chain around his head and scythes down several ninjas. One of them loses a leg. Baizo is floored. He lands on his back and uses his legs to spin himself around. He jumps up and uses his Kasari chain to block a ninja's sword. He then wraps the chain around the ninja's neck and smashes his head into a wall. Baizo performs a spinning leap, dodging other ninja's Kasaris. He kicks several of his attackers aside and locks his Kasari chain with another ninja's sword. He yanks hard on the chain, which pulls the sword from the ninja's grasp. Baizo catches it and ditches the Kasari Tantan. He uses the sword to stab, hack, and slash his way through his assailants. Standing in the center of the room, he fends off the attackers with a sword. He spins and stabs, blocks and parries, cutting his way through the ninjas. Blood gushes from their wounds as Raizo's ninjato blade slices through them. A ninja knocks Raizo off his feet. He springs back up and cuts down another attacker, then flees as another ninja launches a hail of shuriken stars in his direction. He dodges them and kills another sword-wielding ninja before getting to the stairs and making his escape. In the car park, Mika unlocks her car with the remote and gets in. She waits, nervously peering out of the window. As Baizo makes his way towards the car park, he encounters another group of ninjas. Still armed with a sword, he engages them. One of the ninjas slashes Baizo across the back and blood spurts from the wound. Baizo fights on, fending off his attackers, one of whom falls through a corrugated iron partition into a vast hangar full of scaffolding, pipework, and construction debris. Losing his sword, Baizo leaps through the open partition and crashes down onto the construction debris below. He gets to his feet and runs off through the hangar. As he leaps over some pipes, shuriken stars whiz past his head. He drops down and runs on with the ninjas on his tail. Mika is still in the car park.
Baizo, where are you?
Something moves outside the car. She starts the engine, then cocks her pistol and turns the car's headlights on. A ninja lands on the roof and stabs a tanto blade through the windows. Mika drops the car into gear and drives off. She shoots the ninja through the sunroof, killing him. She scrapes the car against the side of the car park as she speeds away. Shuriken stars fly at the car, some sticking into it. As she rounds a corner, she sees another ninja up ahead. He hurls another shuriken at the car, which scrapes against the wall. The car powers out of the car park and slams into a parked car. Mika puts her Volkswagen back into gear and speeds off into the night. In the hangar, Baizo, who's now unarmed, leaps onto a gantry, then climbs up a cherry picker as ninjas pursue him. He makes it onto another gantry and runs along at a short distance before leaping to a lower platform. He lands heavily, then gets to his feet and runs on. The ninjas race after him. Baizo hurls himself at a window and smashes through it. He crashes down onto the roof of a van parked outside, then rolls into the street. A car screeches to a halt inches from his head. Baizo gets up and runs out into a busy road full of evening traffic. The ninjas are hot on his heels. They draw their swords as they close in on him. The ninjas bound over the roofs of the moving cars. A Mercedes slews sideways and Rizzo leaps over the top of it. As the ninjas leap over the car, another vehicle crashes into it, sending a ninja flying. Rizzo and the other ninjas race on through the traffic. Rizzo backflips off the bonnet of a stopped van, then grabs a ninja and slams him into the van. He punches out a second ninja and takes his sword. He somersaults away between moving vehicles before turning and dueling with Takeshi. Takeshi slices Rizzo across the stomach and blood pours from the wound. Rizzo fights on and they lock swords. The car plows into them, locking them both into the air. Rizzo lands heavily and drops his sword. Still clasping his, Takeshi walks slowly towards him and stands over him.
Goodbye, little brother.
Mika smashes into him.
Get it!
Rizzo's in a bad way. Beaten, bruised and bleeding, he gets to his feet and hobbles over to Mika's car. He gets into the passenger seat and she drives away with speed.
I can't believe I found you.
I was waiting for you.
She regards him incredulously, and he smiles. He reaches down and pulls a shuriken style out of his flesh.
Oh, God. We have to get you to a hospital.
No, not a hospital. Just keep moving.
They drive through an underpass.
Mika, where are you?
He told me to keep moving.
Is he still alive?
After a fashion.
Listen, I'm going to bring you in.
No, not this time.
Mika, listen to me. There are too many people involved now. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I don't think we have much time.
Mika!
Brian glares at his phone in frustration. He's still in the base, surrounded by dead and dying agents. Medics tend to the injured. Mika's battered and shuriken-studded Volkswagen is parked outside a motel. In the room, Mika takes a shower. She switches the shower off and steps out of the cubicle. In the bedroom, Rizzo lies on his back asleep in bed, a gaping wound on his battered and bloody torso. Mika sits watching over him. She drags on a cigarette and wafts it around her. She puts the cigarette down and kneels beside Rizzo's bed.
I know you can't hear me. So I'm sure this doesn't matter, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm just a forensic researcher. It's like a fancy way of saying I'm a librarian. By myself, I can't do anything to help you. I wanted to thank you for saving my life.
She leans forwards and plants a kiss on his cheek. Rizzo remains motionless.
I hope you can forgive me for this.
The tracking device.
Agent Maslow.
Yeah.
The tracking device.
You got a lock?
Triangulating your position now.
Right, I want the International Task Force mobilized and ready to go in 5 minutes.
The motel stands quiet in the moonlight. Mika has hidden herself in bushes nearby and watches as the shadowy shapes of ninjas scale the building. As Rizzo lies asleep in bed, the ninjas enter the bedroom and close in around him. Takeshi stares out from behind his black mask at Rizzo as he sleeps. As the grey light of dawn breaks over the motel, Europol agents arrive in a fleet of marked and unmarked cars. Ryan is amongst them. He and the other officers rush into the motel. They find Mika sitting in the room.
Clear! Clear!
Ryan lowers his gun and walks over to Mika, who doesn't look up at him.
They took him 10 minutes ago. He's gone.
She looks up at Ryan, who heaves a sigh and looks over at the blood-stained bed Rizzo had been occupying. darkness. Rizzo sits motionless inside an air freight container. A tiny amount of light spills into the container through a louvered vent.
You are Ozuna. You are part of me, as I am part of you. This is the truth of your lives. And it will remain true after death.
As Rizzo lies in the container, he performs a healing kata with his hands and fingers. The huge gash Takeshi's sword inflicted on his abdomen begins to close and heal up. Rizzo continues the kata, and the healing process accelerates. Back at the Ozuna Dojo, two ninjas drag a bound Rizzo into a darkened room and dump him on the floor. Rizzo grits his teeth as his head bangs on the tiles. The ninjas leave, and Lord Ozuna emerges from the shadows.
My child. It is good to see you again.
Lord Ozuna's right eye is blinded and cloudy.
Do you know, there was a time when I looked at you, I felt such pride. No child ever showed more promise. You were the son I was waiting for, the one to take my place.
Rizzo's head lolls against the floor.
And now, do you know what you have done? How you have shamed my family? How you have hurt me?
Rizzo laughs.
Why do you think I did it?
Lord Ozuna glares at him.
Get this thing to my sight.
A bucket of water is thrown over Rizzo, who's now tied to the stake in the courtyard.
Tonight, we avenge our brothers and sisters. Tonight, we avenge our honor. Let this death be remembered for 1,000 years.
Lord Ozuna, his face scarred from Rizzo's attack on the tower block, addresses the gathered ninjas, then walks over to Rizzo, whom he eyes disdainfully.
Weakness compels strength.
He punches Rizzo in the stomach.
Betrayal begets blood.
Rizzo's head lolls forward as Ozuna pushes his fingers into him.
You're getting weak, old man.
Annoyed, Lord Ozuna punches him again and twists his hand into Rizzo's abdomen. Rizzo coughs up blood and spits out the miniature tracking device. Takeshi spots it on the ground.
Father!
A flare flies up into the air and an explosion blows open the gate into the courtyard. The ninjas scatter as several Humvees race in. Gunners on top of them open fire at the ninjas. But more troops pour into the courtyard. Some of the ninjas climb up onto the rooftop. Mika and Ryan emerge from the vehicles. The troops turn their fire on the rooftop ninjas, who retaliate with shuriken throwing stars. Ryan shoots Takeshi's sword out of his hands just as he was about to hack Rizzo. Ryan tries to kill Takeshi, but runs out of ammunition. Mika runs over to Rizzo and cuts him free from the stake.
What took you?
You knew I'd come?
Just because I was asleep doesn't mean I couldn't hear you. And I forgive you.
Mika!
Ryan guns down the ninja who was about to attack them. Rizzo runs off.
Come this way.
The troops continue to mow down the fleeing ninjas. A ninja runs a soldier through with a sword before being gunned down. The soldier shoots a ninja out of the air as he leaps towards him. The rooftop ninjas take casualties. They respond with throwing stars. Ryan and Mika run through the chaos.
You swore to me you stay inside the NPC.
I thought we were too late.
First team is ready, sir! Hit it!
A bazooka is fired at one of the buildings, blowing a huge hole in it. The troops rush in through the gap, mowing down any ninjas in their path.
Stay here.
Ryan goes with the troops as they enter the building and sweep through its gloomy interior, blasting anything that moves with automatic fire. Takeshi stands with his back pressed against a wall. He pulls his black ninja mask over his face.
You two with me!
Takeshi jumps down in amongst a group of soldiers and hacks them all to death with a few quick blows of his sword. He puts the sword away in its scabbard, which he carries on his back. He pulls open some sliding doors and steps into the next room, where Raizo stands stripped to the waist, covered in blood. He holds a sword in each hand. As Takeshi steps forward, four more ninjas appear beside him.
Come, little brother. Let us play like old times.
Raizo leaps forward and tackles the four ninjas accompanying Takeshi. He dodges and blocks their attacks. Two of them use swords, while the other two are armed with Kusari Tantos. Raizo hacks a sword-wielding ninja's leg off as the ninja turns an aerial cartwheel. He dodges a whirling Kusari Tanto and runs the other sword-wielding ninja through. The remaining two ninjas flail at him with their Kusari Tantos, the knives and the ends of the chains barely missing him. Raizo hurls his remaining sword, and it strikes one of the ninjas in the head, killing him. Raizo catches the remaining ninja's Tanto knife as it flies towards him, then plunges it into its owner's chest. The ninja collapses in a fountain of blood. Takeshi.
My turn.
Outside, the troops are still slugging it out with the other ninjas. The rooftop ninjas hurl throwing stars, harrying the troops. The troops respond with automatic fire. Raizo, now armed with a Kusari Tanto, fights Takeshi, who wields a double-bladed sword. They fight their way along a corridor and crash through a wall into another room. As Takeshi gets to his feet, Raizo swings the Kusari Tanto. Takeshi dodges the attack. As Raizo swings again, the Kusari chain wraps itself around Takeshi's twin-bladed sword. Raizo yanks hard on the chain, pulling Takeshi off his feet. The bazooka is fired at a ninja on the roof of the building they're in, and a burning beam falls into the room between the two of them. As they eye each other over the blazing beam, Takeshi removes his black ninja mask.
Do you still think about her? Do you remember the sound she made when I stuck her?
Raizo lashes out with the Kusari Tanto, swinging it above and below the burning beam which bisects the room. Takeshi dodges it, but Raizo swings his legs under the beam and knocks Takeshi off his feet. Raizo spins around, swinging the Kusari chain hard, and it whacks the sword from Takeshi's grasp, slicing off his fingers. As he reaches for the chain, Raizo swings again and the Tanto knife goes through Takeshi's left hand. Raizo wraps the Kusari chain around Takeshi's neck and pulls hard on it, drawing Takeshi's hand and the point of the knife towards Takeshi's throat. Takeshi breathes hard as he tries to fight it, but is unable to resist, and the blade sinks into his neck. The blood flows, and he dies. Troops pick off stragglers outside. Still clutching the Kusari Tanto, Raizo steps barefoot into the room with the sprung floor. Lord Izunu is waiting for him there.
You remember all I taught you.
Raizo stops and swings the Kusari Tanto at the floor. The knife blade rips up the wooden tiles. Raizo opens a sliding door and goes into the next room. It's dark, but he sees Lord Izunu sitting at the far end.
You are still Izunu.
He swings at Lord Izunu, who deftly catches the Tanto and snaps the Kusari chain in half.
Come, beg your father for forgiveness.
Lord Izunu disappears into the shadows. Raizo looks around but doesn't see Lord Izunu reappear behind him. He whacks Raizo in the back, then punches him clean through the partition wall, across the corridor, through the next wall, and into the room beyond. Raizo gets up and takes a sword from a display on the wall. He sees Lord Azuna's shadow behind a paper screen.
Your heart is weak.
Raizo hacks his way through the paper screen, but there's no sign of Lord Azuna. He catches a sight of Lord Azuna's reflection in a window ahead of him. He wheels around, and Lord Azuna blocks his attack and jabs him in the stomach with a sword scabbard. Fire consumes the paper walls around them as Raizo takes on Lord Azuna and comes off worse. As the walls burn, Mika spots them during.
Raizo!
She runs to help him. Lord Azuna knocks Raizo off his feet and into the next room. As Raizo gets up, Lord Azuna finally draws his sword from its scabbard. They fight in silhouette against a paper wall. As they fight, blood is splashed against the wall like Japanese script. Raizo is knocked through the wall. He sprawls on the floor, looking very much the worse for wear. Lord Azuna steps calmly in after him.
All this loss, this waste, because you put yourself before your family.
This is not my family. You're not my father. And the breath I take after I kill you will be the first breath of my life.
Back on his feet, Raizo stands on guard. Lord Azuna prepares to unsheath his sword once again. Raizo charges towards him, and Lord Azuna vanishes. Raizo turns around, looking for him. Lord Azuna reappears behind them. The two fight and lock swords. Raizo punches Lord Azuna in the stomach with his free hand, twisting it as he does so. Lord Azuna coughs up blood. They separate, and Raizo performs an extravagant spinning kick which knocks Lord Azuna to the floor. He leaps up, and they duel again. Lord Azuna stands on guard. As Raizo makes to attack, he vanishes again. Raizo looks around and meets Lord Azuna's attack as he reappears from the shadows. He vanishes again, leaving Raizo swinging at nothing. He reappears in front of Raizo, then moves with supernatural speed behind him. He slashes Raizo's back, and Raizo collapses onto the floor. As Lord Azuna prepares to strike the fatal blow, Mika comes in and shoots him. Lord Azuna vanishes again.
Mika, run!
Where is he? Where is he?
Get away! Mika!
Lord Azuna reappeared behind her and stabbed her. She flops to the floor.
Most children are disappointments. Not worth the effort to raise.
Lord Azuna holds his sword aloft, ready to strike. Before he can deliver the fatal blow, Raizo vanishes. Lord Azuna looks around the burning room, sword at the ready. Raizo races past him at supernatural speed and hacks off one of his arms, then his other. Next, his lower left leg is amputated. He totters on his remaining leg and his stump. Blood dripping from the blade of his sword, Raizo reappears behind Lord Azuna and performs a spinning attack. He plunges the sword into Lord Azuna's back, burying it up to the hilt. Gore explodes from the wound as Raizo rips the blade out again. Lord Azuna keels over, blood still fountaining from his body. Raizo stands silhouetted against the burning building. Breathing hard, he looks across the room.
Mika.
Carrying Mika in his arms, Raizo makes his way out of the building, which is still ablaze. He walks out into the courtyard, which is littered with the debris of battle. The grey dawn light is just beginning to break. Raizo walks across the courtyard and puts Mika down on the ground. Ryan hurries over to him.
Jesus Christ, what happened?
She saved my life.
Ryan regards him with surprise.
Medic! Medic!
Ryzo looks down at Mika, and she draws a breath.
She'll be all right.
He smiles.
Her heart is special.
I need a medic here now!
A team of medics hurry over and begin tending to Mika.
Is she going to be all right?
I don't understand. She's got a hole right through the middle of her heart, but...
I had a heart in something here.
She points to the right side of her chest. Ryan smiles and shakes his head. Mika cracks a smile, too. Bloodied and begrimed, Ryzo turns and walks away. The screen fades to black. The Azunu Dojo is deserted save for Ryzo, who stands in its garden looking at the gold watch with the broken face. He lets the watch drop from his hand onto the ground. He picks up a pair of pliers and cuts the wire restricting a bonsai tree. He stands deep in thought. Ryzo walks over to one of the high walls of the dojo and looks up at it. A flashback of Kiriko.
Come with me.
She leans forward and plants her kiss on his lips. The moment is illuminated by a flash of lightning. Back in the present, Ryzo scales the wall. He pulls himself up using bullet and shell holes as handholds and footholds. He makes it up onto the tiled roof. He looks out over a steep-sided river valley beyond. Ryzo closes his eyes for a moment, then takes a deep breath and smiles. ITFC audio description by John Walskill was read by James O'Hara.